ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 8 చాప్టర్ 7 లార్డ్ శివా సేవ్స్ ది యూనివర్స్ ది చాప్టర్ టైటిల్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 42 తతః కరతలీకృత్య వ్యాపి హాలాహలం విషం అభక్షయన్ మహాదేవః కృపయా భూతభావన తతః కరతలీకృత్య వ్యాపి హాలాహలం విషం అభక్షయన్ మహాదేవః కృపయా భూతభావన వ్యాపిహాలాహలం విషం అవాఖ్యయన్ మహాదేవ కృపయా భూత భావన మాతాజీ తతః దెరాఫ్టర్ కరతలీకృత్య టేకింగ్ ఇన్ హిస్ హ్యాండ్ వ్యాపి వైడ్ స్ప్రెడ్ హలాహలం కాల్డ్ హలాహల విషం పాయిజన్ అభక్షయత్ డ్రింక్ మహాదేవః లార్డ్ శివ కృపయా అవుట్ ఆఫ్ కంపాషన్ భూత భావన for the welfare of all living entities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thereafter, Lord Shiva, who is dedicated to auspicious, benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in His palm and drank it. Purport. Although there was such a great quantity of poison that it spread all over the universe, Lord Shiva had such great power that he reduced the poison to a small quantity so that he could hold it in his palm. One should not try to imitate Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva can do whatever he likes. But those who try to imitate Lord Shiva by smoking ganja and other poisonous things will certainly be killed because of such activities. Nama Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Paschata Desatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I am actually blessed to be asked to give this Bhagavatam class today. Neither I was even meditating on the topic, neither I knew also what is the topic that is going to be discussed today. But this is a very wonderful topic. We know already Manthana, right? Samudra Manthana, churning of the ocean. So whenever devotees are together, some manthan takes place. Yes or no? What happens because of that? That is not so easy. What happens in the beginning? Fight, quarrel. When two devotees in the beginning, it looks very sweet. And start working together, all poison comes out. Yes or no? And you have to allow that poison to come out. And then you will see your relationship will be sweetened. If you cannot handle the poison, you cannot release the nectar. So similarly, the Samudra Manthana, the churning of the ocean took place. In fact, this is a Leela of Krishna in his Kurma Avatara as well as Mohini Avatara. Two different incarnations of Krishna were participating in this same Leela. So this is a very wonderful Leela. So what you saw here, that when poison is spreading, everybody is just going away. Everybody will go away. Like for example, when there is a society, there will be many problems, right? Many problems. Interpersonal problem. You know, there are so many problems would be there. Financial problem, management problem. Thousands of problems would be there. So if you are an insider, you feel, there is only problem here. But if you go out, problem is even much more. Unlimited problem. So, this churning of ocean happened centered around Krishna. Centered around Krishna. So, even if poison is coming out, we are focused in Krishna, it is alright. Poison will come out. Churning means poison will come out. Because poison is there inside. There or not? Where the poisons are sitting? In my consciousness, in my mind, in my intelligence, in every part of my body, the poison is there. The moment we start chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This Maha Mantra is so powerful, it can actually throw away all the poison, it can burn all the poison into ashes. But we don't want to chant. Immediately we pick the mantra weed, the sleep attacks, laziness attacks, poisonous thoughts they attack. And hardly 2 hours is over in the morning, hardly I have chanted a single name of Krishna properly. And this is daily, day in, day out, this is happening. But we must continue. Every day is a struggle. And we have to accept that struggle until we know that Krishna is very kind to me to engage me somehow chanting. If I don't chant here, I can't chant outside. If I can't chant among the devotees, forget that I can chant outside world. Not possible. So just to before we actually can go to the churning thing, the churning is very important, because you see that any philosophical tradition that is there in India, we have Buddhism, absolute zero, Sunyavada, right? Then we have Nirvishesavada, impersonalism, absolute one. And then we have Paramatmavada, super soul. Alright? And finally, we have absolute person, Bhagavana. So this is a tattva. And whichever tattva we follow, if you see the basics in every tradition are same. Every tradition, even in Buddhism. The basic premise of Buddhism is that this world is full of suffering. What is meaning of poison? Wherever you go, you work inside the temple, you work outside the temple. You stay inside the temple, outside the temple. Suffering is there. As long as the poison is within me, suffering would be there. You can't avoid it. And how do you know that you are suffering? What is the biggest symptom of suffering? Can anyone say? That I am suffering, what is the biggest symptom? Or what is the ultimate form of that symptom of suffering? But that's not... But what is the real symptom that I am suffering? Birth, death, old age, disease is very nice we speak. But what is really the suffering that I am suffering? Means how do you know that you are suffering? That is the cause of the suffering. But how do I know that I am suffering? Yes. Experience se batao. Yes. No. Or anybody? Yes. What is, how do you know that you are suffering? The ultimate form of suffering is fear. Fear is the ultimate form of suffering. Everybody is suffering from fear. We can talk about loha, moha, mada, masarya, all those. But finally, suppose we are all sitting there and some terrorist comes out. What attacks you? The fear. Somebody, an intellectual. He has propounded many theories. And he is suffering from fear that his theory may be attacked by some competent person. Like somebody is very famous. He is fearful about his brand value. Like those who are beautiful, they want to maintain their beauty, the modeling they do and all. They eat only what? Fruits. Why? Because they are fearful that their beauty can be snatched away from them. It is fear that actually, you know, why people work. In fact, I don't have the maybe I have here. So there are two verses in Mother Kapila. Lord Kapila is telling Mother Devahuti that a conditioned soul is always lives a fearful life continuously. It is not that we are not only fearful of only death, because in the young age, nobody feels that there is death. Right? When there is old age, then you start feeling. But fear is there, even a young fellow. He fears that he may fail in the exam. He fears that he may not get a job. It's fear. Fear is there everywhere. And the most important here, Lord Kapila is saying, it is because of the fear for me, the sun god is moving, Kala Chakra. It is because of fear of me, the Indra sends forth the rain. Lord Kapila also says, it is because of fear for me, because everybody fears finally Krishna, because in the form of Kala, he will devour everyone. Everyone. So this suffering is there, and there are methods by which we can get rid of this suffering. And that is why in our Shastra we have two concepts. One is I, the other is mine. Aham mameti. I and mine. Which is first? I is first or mine is first? I. How many of you say I is first? Please raise your hand. And how many of you say mine is first? Acha, acha. Asit Krishna Prabhu is saying mine, and what is your name? Can you explain why you are saying mine is first? Yes, sitting there. Yes. Asit Krishna Prabhu, you want to say? Yeah, actually, yes. Actually, definition of I comes from mine. Just, I'll give you an example. Have you seen small kids? You give them a toffee, they will immediately accept. And you snatch away the toffee, they will start crying. Before you get the toffee, he didn't know what is it. The moment you get the toffee in the hand, immediately that sense of attachment is there. This is mine. And based on mine, I create a false identification that I. Like, there is wealth around me. Based on that wealth, mine, there is a false identification called I. Following mine, based on I. So, mine is first. Whatever we see, the moment I say, I am the possessor, it belongs to me. That attachment is there. Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. So whether it is Buddhism or impersonalist or yogis or bhakta, we have to go through the struggle how to get rid of this the notion of mind first. That means we don't possess anything. So that is why in Buddhism, they do this meditation. In this meditation, they purge out all kind of thoughts that you have. All kind of thoughts that anything belongs to me, anything I have to do with this, all kind of thought that you have, you purge out. Okay? So when you start purging out these thoughts in the process of meditation, you literally come to a state called complete silence, which they call absolute zero. Okay? Voidism. But why they said voidism, or Lord Buddha said voidism? Because the state of nirvana there is that I annihilated my so-called identity called mind as well as I. So complete annihilation of both I and mind result into a voidism. And Lord Buddha said this is. So that means there is nothing. Everything is finished. There is no existence. The moment there is no existence, there is no need for God. Do you understand? If something is existing, then only there is a notion of God. Nothing is existing. What is it? So God is not necessary. But that is also basic to how do you annihilate your I-ness and mind. The whole process is there. They practice. We also practice in our own way. Everybody has to practice this I and mind. We have to practice it. Right? But here, what is the limiting point in Buddhism? Is that how seemingly that which exists when there is nothing existing. This is a big problem with them. In fact, you know, I get shocked to many intellectuals nowadays. They say everything is coming from absolute zero. That is why Buddhism is very popular among the intellectuals. I will not go to the science of that, why it is very popular. But it's something, impractical ideas is coming in the form of so-called intellectualism. That we don't have to talk now. But the next point is, here, one of the things is that these Buddhists, when they actually try to annihilate their I-ness, mind and all those associates, what happens? They are in a complete silence. Who is experiencing that silence? All Buddhists, they accept silence. I am absolutely silent, complete silence. So the moment they say, I am silent, who is silent? Or the silence, where it is? On whom it rests? That brings into the idea of the space that Lord Kapila talks in Bhagavatam, third canto. Because space is the resting place. Space gives structure to form. Space, you know, the all idea of space. So without not going into details of that, but the idea here is, besides there is silence, where it is. Who is experiencing? That's where Shankaracharya, Adi Shankaracharya, took us ahead. Yes, there is complete silence, but somebody is experiencing. Where is that silence? Silence means no activity. And that is why Prabhupada said, Shankaracharya actually preached not pure impersonalism, he preached actually covered Buddhism. Why? Because he said, In the process of teaching, there is silence, and that silence rests in Brahman. No activity. Brahman has no activity. Brahman is there, it's eternal, it's existing. So Brahman became the absolute. God and Brahman became synonym in the teachings of Adi Shankaracharya. But there, the problem came because of the speculation. When I attained that state of complete silence, I consider myself to be that, the whole silence called Brahman. Tattvamasi. Wrong interpretation. Srila Prabhupada says, this is applying our own mental speculation unto the absolute truth. One of the things in Prabhupada's purport, he will always say, Prabhupada would always say, by nature absolute truth is inconceivable. Inconceivable means it is infinite, you cannot conceive. And we should not apply the laws of finites unto infinite. Suppose I apply my own finite logic unto that which is inconceivable, it's finished. I'll make a mockery of everything. Is that clear? So, pure impersonalism is there. Sukadeva Goswami, Nova Yogendras, Durvasa. Durvasa, of course, yogi. He is in another category. And Kumaras. They were not pure impersonalists, Brahmavadis. But they didn't do this impudence. They didn't show this impudence of applying finite logic unto infinite. Hence, they became immediately, they got easily a devotee when they associated with the devotee. Okay? So this is absolute zero to absolute one. The process is same. Here you all the time you have to talk about what I am not, what I am. What I am not, what I am. What I am not, what I am. This goes on in this process. Suppose emotionally we are all searchers. Whether we are a devotee, non-devotee, we have a lot of emotion. And how do we handle the emotion? If I don't know what I am, what I am not. Because even our so-called emotion is also not I. And that is why Lord Krishna in Uddhava Gita gives the example of Avanti Brahmana. He was tortured, humiliated, he was bound by rope. People even peed into his prasadam plate. All kind of things happened to him. But he continuously chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, to be able to transcend the so-called I-ness and mine in which I am being soaked from time immemorial, there is a discipline process we have to follow. Then next stage comes, yogi. What yogi does, that while he is in meditation, he does Ashtanga Yoga and so many other things. So, the impersonalism is synonym with Jnana Yoga. Voidism, Buddhism. Yogi, that is Ashtanga Yoga. Normally, when we say yogi, means Ashtanga Yogi. And, or Dhyana Yogi. So, they also, by practice of meditation, suddenly they recognize, I am not this body. I have no connection to this world. But I am getting intelligence. I am getting so many informations. From where I am getting that information? What is the source of my intelligence? This is in Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter. Elaboration is there, and particularly 35th verse. I'll not go in detail. So yogi suddenly recognize that I, the jiva, when he recognizes his own existence, then he sees another existence from whom he is getting everything. So the two birds in the same tree, a yogi sees it. He sees in the same body, I am also there, super soul is also there. So idea of a super soul comes when a yogi goes beyond the realm of matter and enter into transcendence, meditates on Krishna, then he sees the free-flowing information of divinity comes through Krishna, the super soul. And then we have, finally, sabdeti, brahmeti, paramatma iti, bhagavan iti, sabdete. So, bhagavana. So, that's the ultimate. Now, why bhagavana? Absolute person. Absolute zero, absolute one, absolute person. Super soul, and then absolute person. So, what is this notion of absolute person? You know, what is this absolute person, actually? In fact, one of the purport, one of the lectures Srila Prabhupada says, we are the real monist. Devotees are the real monist. And this is what I will just try to explain. It's not very easy to comprehend. Why a Vaishnava is a pure monist. So, what is Bhagavana? Bhagavan is infinite, right? From infinite, you take away infinite units, what remains? Infinite means less infinite. Original infinite. Nothing is lost. Right? There's a 2 kg of potato is there, 1 kg you take out, 1 kg is left. Right? But in Krishna, that doesn't happen. It's not applicable. Right? You take Om Purnamada, Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnamada, Purnat Purnamadachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya, Purnameva Avashishyate. So, you take away infinite units from Krishna, still he remains same infinite whole. Is not cleavable. Okay? So this is called, it is his inconceivable personality. What is that inconceivable personality? Inconceivable personality means Krishna, when we talk about Krishna, he is so infinite, in him, his abode, his abode is there. In whom? Where it rests? Where does abode rest? Krishna is resting in abode, or the Krishna's abode rests in Krishna? Eh? This is something. If people have to really understand this concept. Like, if you go to Goloka Vrindavan, what do you say? Unlimited devotees. Okay? So, same Krishna and unlimited devotees. He is the one, he became many. Eko bahunam. Originally he is one, but he became many. So what is meaning of this? These pure devotees who are there in spiritual planet, they are non-different from Krishna in the sense each one of them represent a specific quality of Krishna. Each one of them, they represent Krishna's one of the diverse potencies. So he's one, simultaneously he's infinite. So Krishna, his expansion, his devotees, his abode, everything together, single personality. That is called absolute person. And of course, you know, being blessed by Srila Prabhupada, we have understood this concept so many ways, whether Krishna, when Narada came to Dwaraka, he found Krishna everywhere, in every palace, or in Rasa dance Krishna, you know, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur was saying, in Tippani of Dasama Skanda, he's saying in the middle of the night, when Krishna played on his flute, it is not one or two gopis, they rush to the bank of Yamuna. In fact, millions. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, how big is Yamuna bank? Small. You know, physically, if you conceive it, it's a very small place, right? It's a bank, Bansi Bhatta. You know, when you go to Vrindavan, the Bansi Bhatta is a small place, bank of Yamuna. But billions of gopis, they have rushed to be united with Krishna intimately and separately, confidentially. And Krishna has to manifest for each gopi a separate kunja. That means suddenly, in the bank of Yamuna, millions of kunjas, and in every kunja, Krishna is with a specific gopi. And his gopi is thinking, I am so fortunate, I am only with Krishna, all others are bechara. So this is called Krishna concept of infinity. Like we are seeing here, Lord Shiva is infinite. Yes, he is infinite. Here Prabhupada is explaining that this poison that was actually frightening demigods and demons alike, he took all of them poison just in a palm. Just like, you know, Mother Yashoda could not bind same Krishna. So, same infinite-like poison that was devouring the entire creation, Lord Shiva took it in the palm. So there are varieties, you know, like, you know, when Durvasa rushed, being chased by Sudarshan Chakra, and, you know, Brahma said, please leave this place. And finally, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, you know, because he was a devotee of Lord Shiva, so Lord Shiva tried to explain to him, my dear friend, it's not me only. It's Brahma, Narada, Asuri. We are all Trikalagya. In that sense, there is some infinite potency within each of these personalities. Okay? But still, we are all subjected to the illusory energy. Illusory energy can cover us. That's what Lord Shiva's instruction in 9th canto, I think 9th verse or something, in 16th chapter. So this, so basically, Krishna concept of infinity, he is the summum bonum of everything. And simultaneously, he is the person. Krishna's abode is a person. The dust in Vrindavan is a person. The Kalpataru is a person. The Kamadhenu is a person. Kalindi is a person. Everything is a person. And that's inconceivable. We can hear, we can meditate, we cannot enter into the subject. We can understand, we can derive pleasure in hearing this, but we cannot conceive that which is inconceivable. That is why, if you see the spirit of Bhagavad Gita 4.3, where Prabhupada is in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, he says, what is the spirit of Bhagavad Gita? Spirit of Bhagavad Gita is Soevayam Mayatedya Yoga Prakta Puratanaha Bhaktosi Me Sakhacheti Rahasyam Hi Etad Uttamam. So can anybody say what is the spirit of Bhagavad Gita? Yes, but what is the spirit of Bhagavad Gita? What he can understand? Krishna? He can understand Krishna? Just now we said, right? Krishna is inconceivable. You can never understand Krishna. Lord Brahma says that. Yes, Afroji? Yeah, but what we'll understand? No. Science of relationship. Relationship. My relationship with Krishna. Yes, you are right. My relationship. Nobody can understand Krishna, my dear friends. Don't get deluded. So you understand this. Suppose you understood Krishna, means you are better than Krishna. Is that clear? Nobody can understand Krishna. Who will understand? He reveals himself to us as our lover, as our father, as our son, as our teacher, as our master. That is what. That's why Bhagavad Gita is here. You read the translation of 4.3. This ancient science of relationship as told by me to Sangad earlier is further explained to you because you are my devotee. So science of relationship. This is where the modern science has been faulty. And this is one of the things Rasaraj Prabhu is doing wonderful, that he is actually bringing the science of relationship scientifically into science. The science of relationship is fundamental. We cannot understand anything in this world, any object, whether tiniest or the heaviest or the largest, ontologically. Relationship we can understand. And as a jiva, I have only right to understand my relationship with Krishna. And Krishna will reveal that relationship, what relationship I have with him, simply chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We do not have to take Babaji or Siddha Pralali or nothing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, in this age of Kali, the atmosphere has been vitiated so much, simply continuously chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Spread the message of Krishna to one and all. Engage 24 hours in the service to Krishna. Always think, like Krishna is saying to Uddhava in 11th canto, Oh Uddhava, my devotees are always engaged doing something to please me. Sometimes they build village for me. They build cities for me. They build Udyana for me. They do so many things. Simply my pleasure. So this to please Krishna is the summum bonum of devotional service. He is inconceivable. We cannot understand him. We cannot know him. Doesn't mean that we don't deliberate upon it. We deliberate. That's why it is said, the world is indescribable. That is why we describe it. An atom is indescribable. That is why you know, once I don't remember, 2-3 years back, Rasaraj Prabhu was making a counting. There are so many universities, every university, you know, theoretical physics, you know, so many PhDs passes, they produce the thesis on string theory, on this theory, that theory, on the atom. And still atom is not understood. Okay? The smallest of the small, or you take a Hubble telescope and try to understand cosmos. Okay? This process will go on, but the fault in that process is, we are trying to understand, we are trying to become God. We are trying to understand things as they are. You cannot. We can only understand the relationship everything has with Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate relationship. In divine realm, there is pure sound. And that pure sound, how do you know what is that pure sound? Simply chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the pure sound that is given to us. All other sound we do not know. But sound divine is there. And that is why all kind of sounds we have here. Nowadays DJs and all those things, so many form of sound. Sound gives rise to sound. The forms gives rise to form. It is not formless gives rise to form. Nonsense theory. Zero. From absolute zero everything happens. From silence everything generates. Nonsense. Absolute truth, absolute person is full of variegated. Its reflection is here. It's perverted. Adho mula murdha sakha aswatam prahur abhyam. 15th chapter, first verse. This material universe is an inverted tree. Diversity is there. Absolute person is full diversified. He is one. Millions of Vaikuntha planets actually one. Everything is one. He is same Krishna. But he is diverse. Is inconceivable. And that reflection is here. So everything now we can explain. Origin of everything we can explain by accepting Krishna as the absolute transcendental person. And that Krishna concept of infinity is the absolute concept. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ke Srila Prabhupada ke Gaur Pramanande Hare Hare.